Welcome to Warn Radio, with your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to today's broadcast. I'm the Watchman. Tower isn't with us. We've had a very busy week this week, and we've had to kind of change our schedules around. So we're doing this special broadcast of our Wednesday broadcast. And at any rate, today we welcome you to the show. Remember, you can find us. Go over to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. All of our Warn Radio broadcasts are not designed for call-in shows. And we have had a few that tried on Blog Talk Radio to call in. I answered one, and that's about it. And, you know, I'm not here to give you exactly the answer you want. I'm not here to just answer and do a lot of answer shows. This is not what this is. We bring to light important information, and you either like it or don't like it. You either listen or don't listen. It's as simple as that. And we've got some important stuff to discuss. And frankly, there's some, some of the calls are just, they don't even apply to the show. If you've got a serious question, something you want to ask, you have to go to our websites at warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com and get on our contact page and send us an email. Serious inquiries always go there. And without speaking, even the ones that are serious about things that they're raging about. We had one guy that went all the way to our website just to complain of the drums we did in the pre-show. Well, we still got drums in the pre-show. This is professionally done. It's called the Feeling Good pre-show. And then, of course, we have our intro. And that's what we have. Now, if that's not good enough for you and you don't want to listen because of drums, well, that's your problem. But other than that, the real issue are the things that we're discussing. And even when we get into Isaiah, which we're teaching on tonight, and we get into fasting and prayer on Friday, you know, these are important issues. And if you think you've heard all the Word of God and you don't want to listen to it, hey, you know, that's fine. We're here, and even the Lord told those who followed him, you have to have ears to hear. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. We've got a lot of things in this country. If you want to listen to them, you know, there's a lot of choices. But here we deal with biblical issues. We're going to deal with biblical issues, and we're going to continue to deal with biblical issues. And as the world becomes more antichrist, which I've been talking about for 21 years, and even before anybody knew about it, we date back into the mid-70s we were talking about it. We were warning about it back then. And it took us that long to get here. Well, at any rate, as we begin today, the Fulani militants are at it again, and they behead a father and a child. This is, of course, in Nigeria. Now, the Fulani, of course, are herdsmen. They're Muslim radicals. A couple of years ago, I think, when we were covering this, we were talking about the fact that the news was coming in that Boko Haram had gotten into the Fulani and told them what they needed to do. So the Fulani have been killing hundreds and hundreds of Christian farmers, taking their land, running them off the land, and they've been doing that. Well, this particular one, again, Nigeria, a local government area of Bassa, and a father and son were beheaded in a village. They were walking home from choir practice. It was around 8 p.m. Sunday night. And they were stopped and killed. The father was 46 and the son was 7 years old. And the militants moved to another village and destroyed numerous farms. No lives were lost, but the loss of the farms was devastating. And, of course, there's already a food shortage. So this is what's going on. Now, of course, we have in Nigeria a major problem. The government, of course, Buhari, is a Fulani himself and does not do anything, it seems anyway, although he has said he would work, you know, to help get some people released, like Lisa Sheribu from Boko Haram. But nothing's ever happened before him. There was a Christian guy by the name of Jonathan Goodluck Johnson. He didn't manage to get anything done either. And most of the problem is because the militants are better equipped than the Nigerian army is. And, of course, that's a big problem. So Nigeria continues to be a hot spot. It continues to be really a pain in the butt for these people. More than that, they're dead. They're getting killed. They're getting murdered all over land. And some people say it's because of some government policies, but nothing ever changes. And meanwhile, in America, we're a bunch of babies. We're divided. We cry, moan. And we even have people in our House of Representatives, where they call them the Squad, and there is a radical Muslim among them, who in a show, and of course, you know, you can find this. It's about Ilhan Omar, and she was laughing in an interview when discussing ISIS and you know, these other radical groups. You know, as if it's humorous. These people are not humorous. They're murderous thugs. But she comes from a radical sect. But yet she's in Congress. And there's a bunch of them that want to fundamentally change America. Now, you better think again, America. Because I report on this stuff all the time around the world. And, of course, as Reagan said so long ago, he says, if America falls, there is no other country like America. That's right. You better believe that. And I can tell you that there are a lot of American companies, American humanitarian organizations that help out around the world. And I can guarantee you that the Muslims who are causing problems would love to see no more American humanitarian people running into areas to help those who are oppressed, killed, murdered, raped, have their animals killed or stolen, have their farms and lands burnt. Yes, that's what a lot of these humanitarian groups, including Samaritan's Purse, who is now on the border trying to help with that thing down in, because the Congress is so inactive. You know, it didn't take them long to muster up enough thing to condemn Trump, but they turn around and they can't muster up anything to help the people on the border. Meanwhile, and another thing, you know, the SPLC, you know, when we began many years ago, the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, had some good things to say. Now, of course, now they're a lot different today. They have a Swarthmore College. It's backed by the SPLC. Of course, the SPLC has very, very powerful. They have a $518 million in assets. And they have put up several university courses in this college with money. And they call it Queering the Bible. And the SPLC, through these courses, are promising to destabilize long-held assumptions about what the Bible says about gender. Of course, this is about LGBTQ and every other thing that we can come up with. So this is the problem. But, of course, there's the Family Research Council, among others, who are trying to fight this. But, see, even the Family Research Council and many other Christian and Catholic groups that hold to Orthodox Christian views of marriage and sexuality are known as hate groups to the SPLC. So there is no doubt. In America, we do not even know what right and wrong is. And if America embraces Ilhan's view and decides to bring in some of those radical views, you're going to wish that you would have listened closer. That's for sure and for certain. And that's really where we're at today. Just so many things. Of course, it was asked, you know, and this came up. A Christian Examiner had an article on it because Rabbi Zacharias, who is very popular, an evangelist, they were at an annual at-the-table event. Rabbi is a good Christian apologist, and he was convening dozens of elected officials, senior government staff, business people, and academic leaders from both sides of the aisle to discuss the political division in the United States. Now, according to what he come up with, they found out that it wasn't as divided as you think, although you read in the social media it is. Now, moderated by British journalist Rob Gidford, the panelists, discussed this issue about the nation being as divided as many make it out to be, and it is divided. I can point out many examples. I write about it all the time, but there is another set to this, and that set is more and more on both sides of the aisles, we are finding people that are sick to death of the partisanship, the division, the do-nothing Congress, the excuses, always trying to impeach Trump while he goes around. All the time he talks about making America great. The jobs reports are the best they've ever been, making history in that. But yet all they can do is manage to squeak out, you know, a condemnation of Trump over some so-called racist tweets. Well, if you go back and read everything that the Democrats call racist, it would include just about everything. As a matter of fact, that's already been posted on Twitter. It's just amazing how divided and stupid we are while the world is going to hell in a handbasket. We can't come together, and we have the LGBT crammed down the throat of Americans trying to destroy the family while they, you know, continually say that they're being discriminated against. No, today we see Christians around the world being discriminated against. They can't even stand up. They can't do much of anything. Their kids are killed. Their women are raped, and they're like in the Fulani, you know, their herds, their fields are burnt, they're run off the land. This is what the real reality is. And, it's the problem. Now, CBN came up with a thing that they were talking about, a recent thing. And this is really what the problem is with a lot of this. And this is including not only around the world, but in America, we have a fact that Amazon banned another book. It was written by Ann Pollock, who heads the Christian Ministry Restored Hope Network. She wrote the book about I'm trying to find it, everything that she did. I wanted to get in it. But at any rate, it has to do with the ability of LGBT to be redeemed, to be changed. And she wrote it from the standpoint of women who struggle with same-sex attraction. Now, of course, we don't like that in Silicon Valley in the tech, and Amazon has been on record for doing this. And we do have some books on Amazon. I'm having major problems with Amazon, but I was talking about this years and years ago. I always knew this is where America would go in the world. They would control everything. They basically don't want anything to do it. And frankly, I don't need Amazon. I can publish my own books. I can get them available and make them available. I can do that because we have the media know-how. We know how to do it. I've been writing and publishing for years. But the thing of it is, it's irritating to see this going on in America. A good book telling people how those who struggle with same-sex attraction can find deliverance in Jesus Christ. This is what it's about. The world hates Jesus Christ. Around the world, they hate Jesus Christ. And see, this is where we get in Iran. You know, we're constantly talking about Iran, and yet we have people that are just horrified that Trump is trying to get Iran into, you know, a right state of living. But yet, eight Iranian Christians, and this is recent, coming out of the ICC, International Christian Concern, reported that in the Persian Gulf city of Bushehr, they were arrested. The Ministry of Intelligence, of course, that's the one that goes in and cracks down on the Christians, which this ministry, along with their army, was warned by the Ayatollah that there was too many Muslims becoming Christians, and all eight of them were converts to Christianity, see, and they were from the same family, and they were all arrested because they all became Christians. They were all former Muslims, and of course, as you know very well, if you follow it at all, that, you know, you don't have a right. If you're a Muslim, you're a Muslim for life, and you can't ever become anything else. Now, see, that's one way to keep your people. Well, we're going to cut off your head if you become a Christian. Well, this is exactly why, you know, that the Lord spoke in the Gospels. He said those would be your enemies, could be those of your own family. And he said, you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Well, at any rate, we're literally seeing this in many areas. And even in America, we're getting into this hate America mentality. I mean, hate Christianity. Well, yeah, also hate America. We've got four of the squad that hate America enough to bring it up and to change it. They want to totally renew it. And who are they? You know, we've got a whole bunch of people out here that care about America on both sides of the aisles. And yet we have four punky do-nothings that have been in the news and the media darlings. But they've been causing some problems for the Democrats, so it's all a mess. We're in this mess, you know, and I'm telling you here that we need to focus. And even as I'm trying to get focus here, I keep getting back to the America issue, because the America issue is a pain in the butt. It's people like this, and it's the way our system works. We need to stop messing around. Americans need to realize if this country falls, there's nothing else. And what are these believers going to do? And it's just like down at the border. We need to do something about them. We need to help them, and their countries need to be straightened out. And not everybody in the world can come to America, and they can't just come across the border and cause massive problems within, you know, this country. They need to be taken care of. You know, so it's a mess. I already have neighbors over here that don't want to speak English. I've got a bunch of them. You know, they're nice people. We wave all the time. I see them in the store, I'll wave. They'll never talk to you because they don't know how to speak English. And they know you don't understand their language. And we have a lot of that in America anymore. You know, and you know, I think of Babel. You know, all the tongues were confused, so they couldn't build the tower anymore. Well, we can't do nothing in America, but yet we still can, on the internet, we can still communicate. But the internet has a place. The social media, it has a place, but it's a pain. So, Iran is a tier one country of particular concern by the United States. I would say it's more than a tier one, it's one of the worst. Another one who suddenly turned vicious. Of course, they were vicious during Mao. There for a lot of years, we didn't think there was any Christians left because, you know, after the communists took over, because most of the missionaries, I would say all of them left, the churches were torn down, and Christianity was obliterated, and everybody went underground. And then, of course, they had an awakening. And today, there's more Christians in China than there are communist members, but yet the communist members are in power. And it's been decided that we're going to remove Christianity. So here is a particular province in Guizhou. Local residents, you know, they're offered a cash reward to report those who are doing illegal activities like going to religious sites. And the law specifically targets churches that meet without government registration. But see, the government registration is a big pain. It's a problem because they do not have the freedom of worship. The house churches are seen as a threat to the Chinese communist government. They force Christians to join these official registered churches because all the pastoral material has to be okayed by the Chinese government, and it has to make sure that the communism is the number one thing in the country. That is one. God is second, of course, and all your sources and all the ones that you give obedience to is China. Well, if you're a true Christian, you only have one Lord, and you can't do that. So this is a problem in China, and China don't like it, so they're cracking down. And North Korea, it's a terrible mess up there. They're cracking down, too. And then, of course, the one that has been a problem has been over in Egypt. And, you know, again, CBN covered this a little bit. They do a good job of a lot of this, but there was a committee set up by the Egyptian government, and of course, we've reported on this right out of Egypt many, many times and going over years and years. One of the biggest problems they had in Egypt was the okaying of churches being built in areas. And many times the churches don't get okayed and the Christians will continue to meet somewhere. And then the Muslims see it. And, of course, they get mad and say they're making their house a church and they can't do that. So then, you know, the Christians get in trouble there by the Egyptian government. Well, a lot of things have changed. Remember when the Muslim Brotherhood came to power there and things got really bad for the Christians. And then they had a coup d'etat. The military took over and the leader of the military has actually been trying to get some things worked out to where everybody has rights. And so in the recent thing, the Egyptian government actually approved 127 churches. They were run in an illegal capacity, an illegal one. Now they're going to be legal. And this is what we want to see. They passed a law in 2016, hoping to speed up the process. And thousands of churches being built without a permit and operating in fear of government reprisals. So the government is trying to catch up with that. And so the question is, you know, is Christianity being accepted in Egypt? A lot of these, the Copts, for instance, that are in Egypt, go all the way back to the apostles. So, you know, the bottom line of it is Egypt, you know, is coming around, I believe, from the looks of it. Let's hope they continue. But there still is a lot of problems in there, and we get a lot of reports out of there of persecution and many other things against Christians. Now, sometimes when you have things, you know, and this is a problem, and this is how a lot of these Islamists work. They will target weak, you know, easy targets. A Christian college. Now, that's how Boko Haram took, I think it was, over 100 girls. They let all the Muslims go and took all the Christians. And so Lisa Sherabu is one of the Christians who wouldn't convert. And she's still in captivity today by Boko Haram, who says they'll never let her go. But she'll be let go in God's timing. I believe that, absolutely. But see here, you have in Kenya, a court in Kenya convicted three men of helping Islamist extremists carry out a massacre at Garissa University. And their target were Christians. 148 of them died, and this was in 2015. And, you know, for Christians who have been agonizing, and many of them won't fight back. They won't take the law into their own hands. They won't defend themselves in many cases. We see this all the time. And many of the reasons they don't is because they don't have any way to defend themselves. And, of course, when a lot of these Muslim groups, these radicals come in, they come in jeeps loaded with submachine guns, you know, heavy-duty artillery. And you can't do much against that when there's just a few of you with just a little rifle. And, of course, in July, in this Kenyan massacre, the courts found two Kenyans and a Tanzanian who were guilty. They're going to probably receive life imprisonment. And, and it was Al-Shabaab in Kenya who carried this out. Al-Shabaab is well known in all of these areas. Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, the Taliban is operating in a number of places, not just in Afghanistan. And we find different groups of different names all over. There's tons of these groups. Many of them have not ever really made a name for themselves. And, this is unconscionable. They go kill a bunch of Christian students. They don't go after the authorities. They don't go after the army because they get killed. What easier target is there to go find a bunch of defenseless students and murder them? These people are going to wind up in hell. They're not going to have all their virgins. They're going to go to hell. And they're going to deserve hell for what they've done. The jihadists, again here, allowed the Muslim students to go free, just like they did in other places. Boko Haram did the same thing when they hit the university in Nigeria. Now, see, while America and all of its powers, while Europe and all of its powers, and our armies and everything, we're so busy, there is a Holocaust going on against innocent Christians around the world. But, if we go into China is targeting Muslims and Christians and anybody else. There's other faiths there. They're targeting them all. They don't care. And Russia has made some stuff illegal. And in it is also against Christians. Nobody of any faith can speak out about anything unless the government agrees with it. So we've got this coming down all over, and of course this is headed directly into the arms of the beast. And this is part of the war that he's making right now. There's no doubt it. Now, if we go into India is another one. They're always doing this. In Pakistan, we report on Pakistan a lot. There's a lot of Muslim persecution there. We've seen inroads made. And we've also seen hardly, let's put it on this way, inroads in India. Now, before the BJP party came into power, that's a Hindu party, nationalist party, Christians had more power. Now, and I remember when I read that, the Christian leaders in India says we're going to be in trouble because persecution is going to begin, and they were right. And these Christians in India, in Hyderabad, Morningstar News reports on this, says that they were in their homes. And, of course, we see this a lot in India. These radical Islamists, Hindus here, just like the radical Muslims do, they enter into the homes. They will usually trash the home, and sometimes they'll even rape the women. And then they'll drag them out, beat them up or kill them or do whatever, run them out. Now, in this particular case, they were forced to go and bow down to the goddess idol that they had there. India has Hinduism, and they have, untold amounts of various goddesses and gods over there, a myriad, a flood of them. And, of course, this happened the middle of last month about. And you think about it. You know, now, of course, there was 12 Christian families in this village, and they kicked them out. Now, they don't want Christianity in their village. But see, everything, you know, you have to buy your food locally. You have to work your fields. You have to be able to grow stuff and make a living there. But see, since they gathered together, the Christians now, if you're going to stay in the village, you have to be like us. And we're not going to sell you food. You're not going to be able to plant, you know. No way to make money, no way to eat, no way to do nothing. And so, you know, like a local pastor there said, their threats have always been there in this area, in the Gumla district, but it never escalated to this point. And he said, of course, the Hindu there is called the Sarna extremist. That must be the goddess. And the Sarna ritual is what it is. We see this all over the place. And here it's Hinduism. Other places it's Islam. And you can find, you know, in a lot of places, Burma, you know, Laos, Cambodia, Indonesia. You can find it, Syria and Iraq, because ISIS is still over there in little groups. We've declared victory. But a lot of ISIS have just simply took off their uniforms and because they went into the Sunni triangle and a lot of the guys joined ISIS. And they started dressing like ISIS and did their thing. And then when the good guys came in and ran ISIS out, they just simply took off the uniforms and went back to being Sunnis. Except some of them kept it up. But see, this is what's going on around the world. While we play our little game of who loves America the most, or maybe we need to change the Constitution. Maybe we need to ruin America. Maybe we should just open up the border and let everybody in. Meanwhile, it goes back to the old thing that when you send in the first responders have one responsibility, to take care of the first responder. Because if the first responder gets killed, destroyed, or maimed, then we have to send someone to help them. It's just like if you destroy America on the ground level, there's no America left. Well, for a lot of the people, and our forefathers warned about that, be careful to accept another form of governance, because it isn't going to work. And if that happens, as I said, the humanitarian aid, all those in the West that have been able to help, all those who have come here for a lifestyle and to live a free life. Now see, that's what makes America great. We have a lot of faiths, a lot of people, and I'm not interested in making America, you know, forcing everybody to bow the knee as a Christian. Even the Lord gave us a choice. The Bible, while the Lord commands all men everywhere to repent, the Lord said, you know, everybody knows John 3:16, but you follow John 3:16 down in the context of the verses, you find out the Lord himself said that they won't all come because they love darkness. And if you go back to Revelation 22, you know, it's anything but forcing. Because Revelation 22, he says, he that is holy, let him be holy still. He that is wicked, let him be wicked still. And there's more comparisons in there like that, he says, because I come quickly. So in other words, there are those who are going to be righteous and holy, and those are going to be wicked. And, you know, it's your choice. And it's your choice. The Lord told the people listening, as I said before, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. People have a choice. And in America, not everybody's going to be a Christian. But America has always had a Christian blessing for a long time. It's not there anymore. The only reason America seems to have a fresh breath of air is because you have a businessman up there by the name of Donald Trump who is not a politician who wants to make America great. But the bottom line of it is that America will go the way of many other countries if you continue to persecute Christians, if you change the format of this country and continue to fall away. And we are filthy when it comes to some of the immoral things we do, and we are teaching our children. They are corrupting our children and have been for several generations. And the whole thing is a pain. But even as it is a pain, when we look overseas, we see it's really a pain. In Nepal, that's another one. Now, this is from the Joshua Project, and they have a thing to get the, you know, all the people that are unreached. They're related, the Yadav in Nepal are in every way related with the Yadav in the northern states of Uttar Pradesh and Bihar in India. They're all related. And when you ask them their name, they'll tell you their first name and their title, which followed by their title, which is always Yadav. Now, the Yadav used to be called Ahir, which came from Abhira, which is an immigrant tribe that is found in the inscriptions and the Hindu sacred books. They came out of Central Asia and were considered robbers and foreigners by those who were there when they went in. And they claim the god Krishna, since he was a herdsman. So if you're in Nepal, it's the Yadav. And in Nepal, the Yadav are milkmen, cowherds, cow breeders, laborers, animal husbandry, and selling animal products. They have both landowners and people that have no land. Businessmen, teachers, doctors, engineers, the whole gamut. You can find them there. They have a number of different language groups among them. But mainly they get in singing praise of the god Vishnu, Krishna, or any of the other gods that's local there. But they don't know the Lord. You will find a few among them, but not many. And one of the reasons I'm telling you this is we've been finding more of these groups all the time. You know, Scripture tells us, and this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end shall come. Even during the beast, there will be a witness of Christ. By the time the tribulation comes, and then the Lord comes after that, there will be no excuse for those who live on the earth. None whatsoever. So while the world hates the gospel's going forth. Even in America, it's going forth. Our signal alone that we do, in any country, anybody with a cell phone, a laptop, or connection to the internet, for however brief, can pick up our broadcasts, they can read our articles. Anywhere around the world. And over these 21 years, I've had on occasion to look at it. I don't do that much anymore. But, you know, practically every nation on earth you could think of, someone had visited our site. Now, we've had a lot of sites because I've built a lot of sites for us. Now we're down to two. And I'm going to be doing some other things to change some of what we're doing and how we're doing it, because we're going to get into more publishing as well. But you know, we do preach the gospel, teach the gospel. I don't do news much anymore. I talk about it, kind of incorporate it like I do now, but I don't do news. I don't even spend a lot of time. I mean, I go through them. But I have tunnel vision. I look, and the thing today, I want to make clear for you is that look to the Lord, have tunnel vision, and don't get distracted by what's happening. Now, if you're in America, whether you argue that we're divided or not is not the issue. I don't care. I believe absolutely that God is in charge. And no matter what happens, and if you had been listening to some of my teachings, you would know that Isaiah was warning the Jews. And the Lord said, say to the righteous, it shall be well with him, and say to the wicked, it will be ill with him. Now today, for the righteous, it shall be well. And overseas, even those who were killed in his name are well, because they're with the Lord. And he will give them a new body. They will rule and reign with him in his new kingdom. They will be there with him. They will enjoy no more fear. No more worry, no more cold, no more heat, no more enemies, no more hate, no more bloodshed. That's where we're going. Now, I don't know where you're going. But today, as much as the name of Jesus Christ is hated by many governments and many peoples, it stems out of fear. The communist government are afraid of Christianity. The Muslim governments are afraid of Christianity. Why? It's really laughable. And yet it's sad. We report on a ministry of ex-Muslims who have seen miracles, signs, and wonders follow them, as they witness in some of the toughest areas around the world. And this ministry, you know, many times they'll be facing death. And in the midst of the death, the Lord will intervene and deliver them. And we've seen this not just with them, but with other groups. More and more, we are seeing biblical miracles, signs, and wonders as never before on the behalf of the Lord's people. And then the enemies, in these cases Muslims, are actually coming to the Lord. The enemies of the Lord come to the Lord. And then the enemies of the Lord become the enemies of the very Islam that they followed. And many of them can't figure out why so many people, even the Ayatollah in Iran, is worried about it. The Christians and how many Muslims in Iran are becoming Christians. Because, see, if all of Iran becomes Christian, the Ayatollah isn't going to have a job. And so this is the problem, you see. It's the same way it was with the Pharisees and even the high priest. They were jealous of Jesus, didn't want him around, so they saw to it that he died. He called the Pharisees and many of the lawyers snakes and vipers. I mean, the bottom line of it is that you have to make your decision where you're at. Remember, as a believer, you have a duty. Not only take care of yourself and your family, but your brother in Christ. So the yod of, with Hindu traditions in Nepal, are part of the loss that need to be reached. However, back in India, I mean Pakistan, we have another blasphemy case. And we covered another famous case of a young woman who actually spent 9 years in jail. She was sentenced to death, to die, but God delivered her out of it. We don't talk about her, give you her name, because we don't want any publicity to go her way, caused by us whatsoever. Because she deserves time to be with her family and be alone and be at peace with her family and with her God. Now see, this is what we want for these people, to be free. Now, this is a 55-year-old Christian. His first name is Salim. And this is reported by International Christian Concern. There was a property dispute between Salim and his sister-in-law. She had converted to Islam. Salim, of course, is a Christian. So one way to take care of a dispute is accuse someone of something they didn't do. So she accused him of burning pages from the Quran. Now, we've seen this happen before in India. We've reported on it. And people who actually lost their lives over it, because one of the most famous cases there were was a Christian man and his wife, and they had a number of kids, and they were in bondage in the brick kiln, working off debt, and they were actually killed and murdered because an imam had been told they were burning pages of the Quran, and he got the mob, you know, the people in the on that Friday when they came to hear prayers, or whenever it was. And they went out and found the couple, beat them up, killed them, threw them in the brick kiln, and burned them. Well, in this case, these people were actually brought to justice. Not all of them. So, now this sister-in-law was married to Salim's older brother at one time. She divorced him and married Salim's younger brother. Oh, that works real well. And, of course, the bottom line of it is that the case is pending in the court. But we see this time and again. And, of course, even the Pakistan government realizes that the Muslims use this blasphemy law to get back at Christians and anybody else. And so they have been trying to stop that. And we can say that there's been some signs that they're indeed trying to do that. Now, one of the places, I remember David Wilkerson many years ago talking about all of Europe in darkness because they rejected the gospel. Now, Richard Bernstein did an article for Real Clear Investigations. This comes out of France. And I remember at the time all this going on, and that is massive Catholic cathedrals and things are being vandalized. And sometimes, you know, all over the front of the door when you come in. The French police recorded 129 thefts and 877 acts of violence or vandalism at Catholic sites, mostly churches and cemeteries. In 2018, there was no let up. The Conference of French Bishops said that there was 228 violent anti-Christian acts. And in the first 3 months of 2019 alone, there was a bunch of them as well. Of course, many in the Catholic and non-Catholic field there worry that they're seeing not, like anti-Semitism, this is Christian phobia. And there continues to be more, and of course, it's kind of interesting that now you have this going on. Now, of course, the Muslims have denied doing this. But there's been a bunch of murders going on. And I remember this too, an 84-year-old priest, Jacques Hamel. He was celebrating Mass in Normandy. And two men proclaiming allegiance to ISIS murdered him. And France has seen a very big uptick in anti-Semitism and hatred of Christianity. And so attacks on Jewish sites, more than 500 in 2018. There's been a 74% increase in those. And even in Israel, they report that the Jews are leaving France and many other places because of the anti-Semitism. Well, the bottom line of it is that there's been a lot of Islamic youth, males coming in, and we reported on this too, that all the people trying to get into Europe, a lot of them were young Muslim males. There weren't very many females, and the question was asked, where are the females if they're families? There was none. And later on, after they all got in there, and then of course Erdogan, who's trying to build his own caliphate, was saying, be careful, I've got an army and it's all over Europe, referring to all the ones who had went up there to get in. And it was well known that even ISIS fighters were entering in. So it could very well be this is the modus operandi for radical Islamists to do this. But we don't know who's doing it. But we do know that when France tried to change a few things, there was massive protests by the Muslim youth over there some years back. In Europe alone, they are in trouble. That's because they let in a lot of the enemy. And if the enemy wouldn't be the enemy, if they would just be Muslims who are trying to make a better life, they'd be different. But they're trying to destroy the country they're coming into. And so, even in America, we have that same thing. They've been here. More came in this last time, and especially with the border crisis. Because this is how these Islamists work. They work great in the midst of chaos like this. Because in the midst of chaos at the border, they can sneak in through the chaos. While all the authorities are busy with everybody else. So in the world today, we are definitely, from my viewpoint and what I see in the scripture, we are in the end of days. We're not in the tribulation yet, although I know many think we are, and they try to lead you through the book of Revelation to tell you that. We're not there yet. And many will tell you that there is all kinds of things going on, but the thing I can tell you is every day live for the Lord. Don't worry about what these people are telling you. Look to the Lord. Put him in your heart. Check out our shows, our teachings. But make sure that in your everyday life you're praying for the persecuted church around the world. And even in America, there's persecuted Christians. Now, they haven't lost their lives yet, but they're still persecuted for their faith. And make sure that you're giving some financial support to ministries that are on the ground, helping the brethren in Christ. And many of these, like Samaritan's Purse, not only do that, but they also help, anybody, any people. Now, while Americans have a decision coming up to vote for Trump or somebody else next year, you're going to find out things aren't always as easy as they seem. We are living in troublous times, but as Christians, we need not be troubled. We can be burdened, but we're to be strong in faith. And we're to open that door to tomorrow with faith in our God and our Christ. Knowing that no matter what comes, he will make a way for us. And I've seen time and time again, as Tower has as well, that the Lord shows himself strong on the behalf of his people. We've seen those in prison, even out of North Korea. We've seen them released out of prison, get out of there, and are able to go home or to find a place to go to. All the nations are facing this, not just America, not just those over in Pakistan. There is tribulation and trouble that's going to be worldwide. The beast has not shown up, or the son of perdition, whichever you want to call him. I've talked about both of these. So today, I want to encourage you to look to the Lord. Washington will always be Washington. And whether or not this always stays America, it's still not the America I knew as a boy. I do have a recent article that I just got posted today. Visions of Sugar Plums and Socialism. That's right, Visions of Sugar Plums and Socialism. Go to warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com to read this. Seek the Lord. Look for him. Until next time, shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warn Radio.